Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Leyte Sue, host of Word of Mouth. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today I'm really excited. We've got Donna Lentil in the studio, and she started Angels for Animal Rights, which serves the greater New York area. It does a lot, so we're going to talk all about it, and I'm very psyched. So thanks for tuning in. Donna, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me, Celia.
I'm so excited you're here. Thanks for trudging out on this hot day to Roberta's to record this with me. I've learned about your organization through someone else, and it just sounded fascinating, so I'm really excited to have you here. Because it's a nonprofit and a lot of people have come on doing rescue and stuff like that, my first question to you really is, what were you doing before you opened Angels for Animals, and what led you to it?
I was volunteering in shelters, and what made me start Angels for Animal Rights was I served on a board of another group and also volunteered a lot, and I just felt like there was a void in online resources and how to get people educated about animal welfare, and I felt like there was a lot more that we could be doing to reach out to people nationwide, globally, everything.
And then you have some really interesting and unique programs for a rescue organization, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on, because your primary goal is saving animals and helping them, but also the education aspect and the other things you do, which we're going to talk about. How did you choose the specific categories that you help in, like with the veterans and that sort of thing?
Actually, they chose me.
Really?
I would say it started with the Vets Pets program started with a dog named Adora, and I was looking online at pets from the shelter, and there was a dog, a pit bull, that was only about 6 months old, and it was on the to be destroyed list, and the caption was that it was an owner surrender, and the soldier was being deployed. So I called up my friend Kim from Sasha's Mission, and I said, we have to save this dog because her husband's in the military. And so I went out there and got the dog, and a volunteer comes running out and says, oh, by the way, there's a bag that was dropped off. I'm not supposed to give this to you, but here's the bag. And in the bag was a ton of toys and a letter about all the dog's favorite things. And so we decided we were going to try to track down, or keep the dog until the owner returned.
That's really cool.
We never did. We couldn't find out who the owner was. So Adora actually lives in Rockaway, got adopted.
Oh, cool.
And I get updates on her, and she's beautiful.
Nice. Nice. And so you've got the veterans program. So what's the official name of the vets program?
It's called Vets Pets Program.
And then what's your other program that you have?
Broadway Beds.
Which I love, too. I think that's awesome. So what does Broadway Beds do?
Broadway Beds was started by my friend Kelly, who's also on my board, and she's a professional costumer. We knew of a lot of sewing programs, or sewing circles, so to speak, in the area where people make beds for shelter animals. But what she noticed was that when she was at work she works on a lot of movies and TV shows and Broadway shows. There was a lot of downtime with the costumers. So
smart.
So we gave them fabric, and we said, while you're waiting, and I think our first one was with Evita, so Ricky Martin was starring.
Awesome.
And we said, while you're waiting for Ricky to split a seam or pop a button, can you make a couple beds for us?
That's so cool.
So we ended up, it ended up going very, very well, and the shelters we gave it to, because the beds are made professionally, they're able to wash them and reuse them.
Nice.
And we're actually moving that program into a college, for a fashion college,
cool.
This fall. for students to get involved with the customers as well.
What a great idea. That's so cool, too, because it just expanded. So, like, you're really helping kids with their careers as well
as
helping these animals.
And we also want to give the kids a chance to create couture beds that we'll have auctioned
off.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. We want to get that. We want them to get involved in the pet industry, animal welfare, and the whole entire experience and really enjoy it.
Nice. And it's funny, too, because, you know, if you've not been to a shelter or even a vet's office, you know, a lot of times they just throw down towels. And, I mean, the areas have to be able to be sterilized easily. So they're cold, they're hard, mm-hmm. they're rotten. So, like, the thought of a bed, for an animal that needs to be rescued is kind of like, oh, that's kind of quaint. But if you've been in there, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
You know, and I love what you're doing. I think it's really cool that, and then you're getting all the fabric, too, that they're not using from these sets and stuff, right?
Right. Well, we brought in our own fabric because at first we were tentative about it. We didn't know if we'd get permission to do it. But now the school that I'm working with, and it'll be announced on my website when we officialize it.
Cool.
But the school I'm working with is going to help us with the fabric and such.
Nice.
And so that's a huge relief because we'll be able to do a lot more.
Wow. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that stuff adds up.
Yeah.
It really, really does. So let's talk a little bit about the shelter situation, your thoughts about it, because I know because you've been doing this for a while, you know what's going on out there, because a lot of us just don't.
My feeling is that I think I'm going to go. I'll go back to a couple years ago to a shelter situation in Long Island, where they had one of the highest budgets I've ever seen and one of the highest kill rates.
Really?
Yeah. And these three ladies were volunteers, and they got kicked out of volunteering because they wanted to decrease the euthanasia rate.
Yeah.
And they were questioning the budget.
Really?
So I went out there and, you know, I had a limited role. I just we were just talking through things, but I actually went out there with a button camera and I signed in as Lola Falana and nobody blinked.
Really?
And what made me really angry was they had a $7.5 million budget.
What?
And these ladies, it was the middle of summer, and these ladies were in an air-conditioned room. All these ladies were just sitting in this air-conditioned room that would have made for a perfect cattery.
Yeah.
That was facing trees and the street and everything. And the cats were, there was no air conditioning in the whole place.
Wow.
And the cats were in front of the kennels, the dog kennels.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, so the cats were literally being scared to death.
Wow.
They were housed right in front of the kennels, and you could hear the dogs barking because they were so hot.
Totally.
And there weren't enough staff. The kennels were
wow.
being... And the shelter did get audited, but as far as I know, very little has changed.
Wow.
And there were a lot of patronage jobs on the payroll, too.
Mm.
So my feeling is that if a shelter... I'm a big proponent for a bill called the CARA bill, which was a bill that was in the assembly, and it was asking for the accountability of every single intake.
Wow.
And I think that if our tax dollars or if a shelter is governed by a city or state agency, then they should be liable for that accountability. And, you know, if we're paying for it,
seriously,
or if they're getting grants or anything, we should know that the cats are going straight to the back and being killed. Mm. We should know that, and I don't mean to be a downer, but that's the reality.
No, that's important.
And we should know that 6-month-old puppies are being euthanized because they're scared and they're claiming they're aggressive, or they want to try to put them down for psychological reasons.
Wow.
So it's a big problem that they keep throwing good money after bad.
Mm.
So they keep getting more money.
Right.
And then they create a program or put a Band-Aid on it and then say, look what I did. I deserve a raise.
Right.
And I think that's a terrible way to do business.
Yeah, I think too, especially when it's this kind of thing. I mean, is this the type of shelter where animals are being brought in by owners that can no longer take care of them?
Well, a lot of owners think their animals are going to be adopted out.
Oh,
that's the misconception.
Wow.
That's a huge misconception.
Wow!
Especially when it's a state funded or city funded or run by an agency or a department, you automatically think a lot of them think they're doing the right thing.
Wow.
So I don't blame the owners.
Yeah,
you know, it's the people that are running these institutions and are taking home, $500,000 paychecks or...
Yeah, and you know, it happens, sadly, all over the nonprofit spectrum, and they're, you know, we're doing good, and I've got a new Mercedes, and it's like, So, quick answer to this, because I want to talk more about you, but, like, for someone who's like, oh, there's a shelter down the street, and I want a pet, how do you find out if this is a decent shelter?
I think you have to ask the hard questions. You have to ask them if they're a no-kill facility.
Okay.
You have to ask them if they have a high adoption rate.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for instance, one of the shelters I volunteered at was Animal Haven, which is a wonderful shelter.
Yeah,
one of my
like
favorite.
That.
One of my favorite. I think it's beautifully run. And I volunteered there for a very long time. And I really loved the way that they did things because they never took on more than they could handle.
Nice.
And but they always had room for emergencies. They made room.
Wow.
And so, you know, it was a beautiful balance of doing the right thing and saying what you mean and meaning what you say and not, you know, it's the way that's the business model that shelters should run by. And
yeah, and that's a hard one for a lot of them because, you know, a lot of people that are just like, I just want to save them all, you know, like a lot of people that come in with a good heart then just get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want to keep talking about this because what you do is amazing. But thank you for saying that because it's a really good point of, you know, if you look it up on Yelp and it's like 5 stars, it's like, what does that really mean?
Right.
So, you know, if you call them up and talk to them or go in person, you'll have a better idea of what's happening.
That's the key. You just have to, you know, follow through with and make sure that. And, you know, when you do drop, you know, if you have a personal reason, I think trying to do something before you get to the shelter is important.
Yeah.
That's why I have the Vets Pets program, because we want to keep animals from getting to
the
shelter. You know, like that dog that was dropped off because of the deployment.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that to happen. There's no reason that should happen, especially for our military. Our military deserves better.
That's so scary that's like not, I don't want to say it's the norm, but that's what happens to some of these animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kills me. But I want to talk more about the military program, the Vets Pets, because it's super, super cool. So
thanks.
Tell everybody what you guys do.
So after Adora, I have a friend who worked at the VA, and we started taking on case by case situations. And what we do, we officially started the Vets Pets program in January, but we've been doing this for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Adora was about 3 years ago, I think. We have no questions asked kind of policy. We believe that every pet is a form of emotional therapy.
Nice.
And especially for veterans.
Yeah.
And we believe that they should be taken care of, and we want to put a face on the emotional therapy pet.
Nice.
So we just take care of them. We have a food pantry. We have a Beastie Feast as our sponsor.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
They sponsor us for our Vets Pets program.
Nice.
So anything we need, we can get. We have a lot of veterinarians that have been really wonderful and given us discounted services.
Wow.
West Paw Pets is another one that has a pharmacy that they gave us great. They helped us out a lot with a woman whose dog had Cushing's disease and she couldn't afford the medication.
Yeah, it's expensive.
So we got her a year's supply of medication, and West Paw Pets actually supplied it for us.
That's so nice.
So we just ask. We just ask people, can we, you know, whatever the situation is. I mean, you know, we just found a foster for a pet rat.
Totally. And I love that you did that. And I've met this rat and I love him. He's really cool and I don't like rats normally, but oh my God, I love him.
But the veteran is very attached to him and we wanted the veteran to be able to get his medical attention.
Totally.
So, you know, that's the other thing too. We find fosters and we have a mascot named Thor, who's a teacup Yorkie.
I love it. That's so cute. Oh my God. And so, like, when you're dealing with these programs, if someone is deployed and they give you their dog, when they come back, they can get their dog back?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, we haven't had that yet. So far, we've just been fostering for medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had, we would find a good family.
Yeah.
We would go, you know, we'll do whatever they need, whatever it takes.
And I mean, for the medical attention too, that's such a big deal because, you know, if you have to actually go intake, you know, a lot of these people live alone or they have someone that can't do this. And so it's what you're doing is just a blessing for these guys because they don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah, we had recently, like I think it was in January or February, we had someone who has severe PTSD.
Mm.
And and he hadn't taken his dog to the vet in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And his dog was peeing blood.
Oh, God.
And we got him to emergency surgeries.
Nice.
And we didn't go very far. We found a veterinarian that was really close to him because
Perfect.
He didn't want the dog to be too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand the connection between between the pets and the veterans. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable.
I love that. I love that because it's so. In many cases, it's, you know, okay, we're going to help you with your pet, but there's no consideration on who that person is. And, you know, these people that are coming back, they've been through the ringer, and they need as much help as they can get. And just, I mean, it's like for me, I've got a cat who's been on meds now forever. It's been 8 months of fun party time every 12 hours, you know, and if I'm late, I'm strung out about it, you know, and I'm going to get there. Like, I will get there maybe an hour late, but it's not a big deal. And, you know, I don't have PTSD or anything it's a, you know, daily battle.
It is, and I have two veterans on the board, and one of them's from Vietnam,
wow.
And the other one is from Iraq, and mm-hmm. he spent 10 years. And
whoa!
And if I can quote my dear friend Howard from Vietnam, who has a Purple Heart, and we adore him, he said the reason why there's so many problems now is because they've gone back so many times. So he said that they might have like 7-8 tours, and it's just compounding.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'm very appreciative of the two members I have on the board. They're wonderful people, and they've really contributed a tremendous amount of help.
Totally. I mean, they know everything, which mm-hmm. is great. So they've got really great insight for
it's
you, too.
Jason and Howard, they're wonderful.
Jason and Howard, thank you, guys. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break for station identification, but we'll be back in like a minute and a half to continue the conversation.
Down to earth, Gucci around the purse, bougie never. Shoes be matching with a poofy leather.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back. I'm talking to Donna Lentahl. She's the founder for Angels for Animal Rights, which is a nonprofit that does amazing things in the greater New York area. So, Donna, what was your biggest challenge in starting this organization?
I believe it was probably writing the website because I had to organize it and then reorganize it and then reorganize it again.
Yeah.
And I had some help. I have some people who are really... great on, you know, in my network that helped me out.
Nice.
And sent me some information. And then I have a wonderful web designer from Ari from Cornell who kind of truncated it a little bit.
Oh, cool.
You know, so.
I like the site. It's really, really clean. It's really direct. It's not just like blah, blah, blah. Like, you really get all the information you need. It's and the design's beautiful. You did a really nice job on it.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with that.
Thank you.
So what work do you do with animal advocacy and animal rights?
Mostly we try to educate people on the bills mm-hmm. that are in session because most people don't understand how it works. And you know, there's a lot of legislation that goes on. And mm-hmm. The awareness is raised by special groups that, okay, you know, have, who have a special interest in that Belvian past.
Right.
So we try to keep everybody aware of what's going on. It's hard to tell. But for instance, one of the bills that I don't believe passed this year, and we really was for against devocalization and decline.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I might still be in session. But, you know,
you're right. I haven't heard anything about
it. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of that bill because, a friend of mine got it passed in Massachusetts.
Oh, cool.
And I think that it's very important. People don't realize that when that decline is like taking somebody's fingers off, you know?
Oh, yeah. They just don't have a clue. It's like I love that. Well, they just pulled them out. Really? That's a torture method.
Yeah.
That was used in Vietnam. Like, come on, guys. You know? And the devocalization is just...
Well, they can choke on their food.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have scar. They get scar tissue from it. So it's they're both dangerous. I'm not a proponent of it. I understand why people do it, but I'm not a proponent.
No, I consider declawing brutal. I really do. I consider it barbaric, you know, and it's... It's just a shame that those options are offered when there are solutions that are so much more dealable, you know, and less expensive and that work, you know. But it's sadly, everyone wants a quick fix these days. So we need that legislation to get through fast.
Well, and the thing is that if you know, I think that veterinarians are a little stuck because as long as people ask for it, they have, you know, it's there. And you can't say, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, well, if you don't make, you know, I don't know, whatever breed, my Yorkie stop barking, then I'm going to get it to the shelter. I'm going to put it down. So then it's like, you know, that whole saving a life, which is ethical, but me, I don't know. It gets a little Machiavellian, but I totally understand it. I mean, the doctors are there to serve, so.
I know a lot of them that save also, that will pull one of those guys, you know, if somebody's going to take them to a shelter, they will take them and find them a home.
Nice. Yeah, that used to happen at the clinic that I was at, too. I mean, all of us got our pets from that place. It was kind of like, who needs a dog?
Yeah.
Here you go.
I have friends who are veterinarians, and it's kind of, they will make sure that their dog's safe.
It's cool, you know. It's a nice thing, but it was also like, oh, God, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nobody needs a 90-pound pit right now, even though it's a sweet dog, you know. It'd be like calling all our friends, and everyone's like, we have pets. No, you know. But it's a good thing. And I love the fact that you guys do so much about educating, because I think education is really the key these days. And, I mean, films like Blackfish and things like that that have come out that have really, like, made people's heads explode and understand what's really going on. Do you find that when you're talking about all this kind of stuff that the public is open to it, or do they get spooked?
Well, I work in the pet industry as a profession, and it's in advertising and business development.
Yeah.
So I talk about animals 24/7. And, you know, to me, if they're getting scared by anything I say or turned off, it's not phasing me. So it's kind of going over my head a little bit. So I just keep talking, you know, and I do get in some arguments. I just kind of won today on Facebook because we were talking about, I was educating people about canned hunting.
Oh, God.
And, you know, it's terrible, but, you know, I just feel like you can't not say something.
Yeah.
So I was trying to educate hunters about how by being a role model and a proponent of hunting, you're telling your people around you and your children and your family that it's okay to go, when they make money, to go overseas and do this.
And so tell our public what that is in case someone doesn't know.
That's when you could go on a safari and basically shoot the safari animals in an enclosed area.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing to do because I believe it was the black rhino that just went extinct.
Yep.
And it's terrible because our giraffes are down in numbers, elephants, even I think lions might be down.
Yeah, I think so too, actually. I saw something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand. Like, okay, if you're a hunter, like, I understand, you know, hunting deer or something, and I would never do it. I couldn't kill something. But, like, you know, tracking it and the whole thing where, you know, you're in the woods, you're following this thing for days, and it takes a skill. But, like, to go on some safari and be on the back of a Jeep with a cocktail in one hand and a shotgun in the other, and, like, oh, there's the elephant to kill. It's just so, it's like, what is that, you know?
Right.
It amazes me. So what, you can have, like, a cushion at home that's an elephant foot. Yeah, it just fortunately I don't have that gene, because I just don't understand that the whole thing on that, where it's, you know, look, it's an animal in a box and you can kill it.
Well, I think we have to make it everything uncool. We have to make animal welfare fair cool,
yeah,
and, you know, harming animals uncool,
yeah,
because that's what sells. I mean, mm-hmm, quite frankly, that's, you know, harming. And the other, there's also another thing that is a connection between animal cruelty and prison system, because if we can get people, when, you know, if we can have harsher punishment for animal cruelty,
yeah,
we would keep violent crime down.
And wow.
Because there's a definite link. There's been a link, and you know, if somebody's going to hurt an innocent puppy or a kitten, it's not that far fetched from a child.
Totally. It's like there's something like, you know, like they have those lists, like these 10 questions, and, you know, are you a sociopath, or
right,
are you an alcoholic or whatever? And the sociopath one actually says, like, harmed small animals as a, mm-hmm, child.
Actually, yeah.
You know, and I mean, looking back, I knew one person like that, who shall be nameless, but obviously there was something wrong with this person. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, wow. And it's just such a, it's really interesting to me when people are like, let's go out of our way to wound this cute little bunny, or, you know, this little thing. And I think the more that people realize how smart animals are, that seems to really turn people around a lot.
I think that's key. That's, education is definitely key, and showing people, you know, how to be more humane. And that's why, like, one of the things that really, you know, with our Vets Pets program that we really try to do is educate people on what a real emotional therapy pet is. Because
nice.
Now, you know, because there's a coolness factor for the fake emotional therapy.
Oh, my God.
Ones.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out a way. And I know, you know, our on my board, Denise from Empire of the Dog is trying. We're working with her to try,
cool,
to figure out a way to train, at least train the veterans' pets,
mm-hmm,
in a way that shows that they're a good traveling companion.
Nice.
To trying to help them a little bit. Because I found, like, once you let people know that they're veterans.
Yeah.
They can do what they can, the dog can go with them wherever they want.
That's awesome.
We have a very forgiving society in general.
Yeah.
And they do appreciate our veterans.
Yeah, they do.
But the veterans themselves don't put themselves out there and say,
mm-hmm,
I've served for you.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. They're too humble.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we're working on something with that.
It's just great. I mean, it's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'd also like to do, we're hoping to do some kind of, campaign that we're working on a campaign soon that will definitely put a face to the emotional therapy pet for these guys.
I think it's funny because it seems like something that would just be an absolute no-brainer, and you'd think you could get it through Washington and it could become a national thing like overnight, but it's like not that easy, sadly.
It's not really something that we could, you know, we're not sanctioned by the VA or anything.
Yeah.
We're one of the outreach groups that,
yeah,
that they're, you know, that they come because it's a mixed bag, and it's very difficult to do stuff. So, I'm very grateful that they call us when they have situations,
mm-hmm,
and I'm very grateful that we can help them.
Totally.
And, you know, we just finished a fair that they had where we had different groups there, like Wounded Warrior Project.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah. And IAVA. And,
cool.
And we were able to talk to them about our programs. And that was really special. I like that. That was nice of them.
And were they really open to it?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. We were very busy.
Good.
we've actually gotten so much demand that it's crazy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good. Because it's needed, you know?
Yeah.
So what's the most rewarding thing about your work?
Knowing that these guys and gals are getting the treatment they need.
Yeah.
Because we don't want them to feel like they're alone.
Yeah.
And we know how important their pets are, and we know how they feel, and the, you know, for all the work that they do, and we appreciate that they served for us.
Mm-hmm. And how can, like, a regular person that's tuning in that wants to find out more about this, more about you, like, how can they help?
You can contact us at our website, afarnyc.org,
mm-hmm,
and there's a contact page, and you can send us an email. You can sign up to be a volunteer. You can donate. All the donations, 100% of the donations go to...
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
100% go to the veterans. Right now, the Vets Pets program.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really impressive. It's 10% goes to, you know.
No, I funded most of it myself last year. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We're very passionate about it.
Yeah, you are.
So.
But I love that you're very passionate about it, but you're coming in on a really, really amazing angle, and you're staying focused on that. Because with rescue, sometimes it'll be like, I'm only going to rescue ducks. You know, and then someone shows up and it's like, hey, I found a pig. And it's like, okay, I'll take the pig, you know. And then it's like, oh, look, I found a squirrel. And so trying to stay on your track and really not be swayed, that's a challenge too.
Well, we just went where we were needed.
Cool.
And that's where we're staying.
That's really cool.
Because that's what seems to be necessary.
Totally.
And you know.
And it's a good fit.
And it started with Adora. Who knew?
That's so cool. That's so cool. Adora needs to be your mascot.
I know. We have Thor. Thor was one of the guys we fostered.
So. Well, that's true. You need like Thor in like a little like World War II outfit with like the little, you know, the hard shell helmet.
That would be cute. We could have Thor and Adora next to each other.
Actually, I have a costume designer friend who can make you these outfits if you ever need them. So this is perfect. Well, Donna, sadly, we're out of time. I've had a blast.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. Again, it's Angels for Animal Rights. You guys are on Twitter. You are on Facebook. Anywhere else? Are you on Instagram or Tumblr kind of girl?
Yes, Instagram.
Who are you on Instagram, or how do we find you?
I think it's at afrnyc.org.
Okay, cool. Cool. So... for today, I wanted to say thank you to the show's engineer, Liz Smith. Liz is awesome. She always makes me sound great. I love her. She keeps me calm and all that good stuff. Today's break music was provided by Veza. The show's theme song is Never Coming Home by the Raunch Hands. And also, thank you, listener, for tuning in. If you like what you heard, tell your friends to subscribe to the show on iTunes and feel free to get in touch with us at heritageradionetwork.org. Next up, we have a teaser clip of Danny Bowien of Mission Chinese Food talking the intersection of food and family on Eat Your Words, another great show found right here on Heritage Radio Network. Take care, you guys.
You know, we weren't the most well-off family growing up, so we always ate at home. We didn't go out to restaurants that often.
Acclaimed chef Danny Bowien of Mission Chinese has fond memories of food and family.
And my mom cooked, you know, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and yeah. I was just so fascinated. I'd always stand in the kitchen and cook with my mom, which is it was amazing. You know, it was like really cool. It was a good time that we always spend that time together, and I think that's what really inspired me to want to cook. And it was cool because for that, you know, hour and a half that we ate, or hour that we ate every night, you know, the whole family was there, and my dad was there and he worked, so I got to see him and talk to him. So it was cool. I always thought that like cooking and bringing people together, being able to hang out with your friends or your family is really important. I think that was one of the major reasons that I wanted to cook. I didn't know that once I started cooking I would never see my family or friends because I'd be cooking all the time, but but you know, it's you see them when they come to the restaurant.
You're fostering friendship and family for other people,
right,
good times.
Yeah.
This was an excerpt of episode 100 of Eat Your Words, hosted by Kathy Irway. All episodes available on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This piece was brought to you by escapemaker.com. Visit a farm, escape through the net, escapemaker.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.